hands out front, his arms folded over his big belly. He sets his narrowed eyes on Daddy. Daddy sighs.
Here we go.
We hop out. Mr. Lewis gives some of the best haircuts in Garden Heights. Sakani's high top fade proves it, but Mr. Lewis himself wears an untidy afro. His stomach blocks his view of his feet, and since his wife passed, nobody tells him that his pants are too short and his socks don't always match. Today, one is striped and the other is argyle.
The store used to open at 5:55 on the dot, he says. 5:55.
It's 6:05. Daddy unlocks the front door.
I know, Mr. Lewis, but I told you, I'm not running the store the same way Wyatt did.
It sure is obvious. First you take down his pictures. Who the hell replaces the picture of Dr. King with some nobody?
Huey Newton ain't a nobody.
He ain't Dr. King. Then you hire thugs to work up in here. I heard that Khalil boy got himself killed last night. He was probably selling that stuff.
Mr. Lewis looks from Daddy's basketball jersey to his tattoos.
Wonder where he get that idea from.
Daddy's jaw tightens.
Star, turn the coffee pot on for Mr. Lewis.
So he can get the hell out of here, I say to myself, finishing Daddy's sentence for him. I flick the switch on the coffee pot at the self-serve table, which Huey Newton watches over from a photograph, his fist raised for black power. I'm supposed to replace the filter and put new coffee and water in, but for talking about Khalil, Mr. Lewis gets coffee made from day-old grounds. He limps through the aisles and gets a honey bun, an apple, and a pack of hog head cheese. He gives me the honey bun.
Eat it up, girl, and you better not overcook it.
I leave it in the microwave until the plastic wrapper swells and pops open. Mr. Lewis eats it soon as I take it out.
That thing hot!
He chews and blows at the same time.
You heated it too long, girl. About to burn my mouth.
When Mr. Lewis leaves, Daddy winks at me. The usual customers come in, like Mrs. Jackson, who insists on buying her greens from Daddy and nobody else. Four red-eyed guys in sagging pants buy almost every bag of chips we have. Daddy tells them it's too early to be that blazed, and they laugh way too hard. One of them licks his next blunt as they leave. Around 11, Mrs. Rooks buys some roses and snacks for her bridge club meeting. She has droopy eyes and gold plating on her front teeth. Her wig is gold-colored, too.
Y'all need to get some lotto tickets up in here, baby,
she says as Daddy rings her up and I bag her stuff.
Tonight it's at 300 million.
Daddy smiles.
For real? What would you do with all that money, Mrs. Rooks?
Shit, baby. The question is what I wouldn't do with all that money. Lord knows I'd get on the first plane out of here.
Daddy laughs.
Is that right? Then who gonna make red velvet cakes for us?
Somebody else, 'cause I'd be gone.
She points to the display of cigarettes behind us.
Baby, hand me a pack of them Newports.
Those are Nana's favorites, too. They used to be Daddy's favorites before I begged him to quit. I grab a pack and pass it to Mrs. Rooks. She's staring at me moments after, patting the pack against her palm, and I wait for it. The sympathy.
Baby, I heard what happened to Rosalie's grandboy, she says. I'm so sorry. Y'all used to be friends, didn't you?
The used to stings, but I just say to Mrs. Rooks, yes, ma'am. She shakes her head.
Lord have mercy. My heart about broke when I heard. I tried to go over there and see Rosalie last night, but so many people were already at the house. Poor Rosalie. All she going through, and now this. Barbara said Rosalie not sure how she gonna pay the burying. We talking about raising some money. Think you can help us out, Maverick?
Oh, yeah. Let me know what y'all need, and it's done.
She flashes those gold teeth in a smile.
Boy, it's good to see where the Lord done brought you. Your mama would be proud.
Daddy nods heavily. Grandma's been gone 10 years, long enough that Daddy doesn't cry every day. But such a short while ago that if someone brings her up, it brings him down.
And look at this girl, Mrs. Rooks says, eyeing me. Every bit of Lisa. Maverick, you better watch out. These little boys around here gonna be trying it.
Nah, they better watch out. You know I ain't having that. She can't date till she 40.
My hand drifts to my pocket, thinking of Chris and his texts. Shit, I left my phone at home. Needless to say, Daddy doesn't know a thing about Chris. We've been together over a year now. Seven knows, because he met Chris at school, and Mama figured it out when Chris would always visit me at Uncle Carlos's house, claiming he was my friend. One day, she and Uncle Carlos walked in on us kissing, and they pointed out that friends don't kiss each other like that. I've never seen Chris get so red in my life. She and Seven are okay with me dating Chris, although if it was up to Seven, I'd become a nun. But whatever. I can't get the guts to tell Daddy, though. And it's not just because he doesn't want me dating yet. The bigger issue is that Chris is white. At first, I thought my mom might say something about it, but she was like, he could be polka dot as long as he's not a criminal and he's treating you right. Daddy, on the other hand, rants about how Halle Berry act like she can't get with brothers anymore, and how messed up that is. I mean, anytime he finds out a black person is with a white person, suddenly something's wrong with them. I don't want him looking at me like that. Luckily, Mama hasn't told him. She refuses to get in the middle of that fight. My boyfriend, my responsibility to tell Daddy. Mrs. Rooks leaves. Seconds later, the bell clangs. Kenya struts into the store. Her kicks are cute. Bazooka Joe Nike dunks that I haven't added to my collection. Kenya always wears fly sneakers. She goes to get her usual from the aisles. Hey, Star. Hey, Uncle Maverick.
Hey, Kenya,
Daddy answers, even though he's not her uncle, but her brother's dad.
You good?
She comes back with a jumbo bag of hot Cheetos and a Sprite.
Yeah, my mama wanna know if my brother spent the night with y'all.
There she goes calling Seven my brother, like she's the only one who can claim him. It's annoying as hell.
Tell your mama I'll call her later,
Daddy says.
Okay.
Kenya pays for her stuff and makes eye contact with me. She jerks her head a little to the side.
I'm gonna sweep the aisles, I tell Daddy.
Kenya follows me. I grab the broom and go to the produce aisle on the other side of the store. Some grapes have spilled out from those red-eyed guys sampling before buying. I barely start sweeping before Kenya starts talking.
I heard about Khalil, she says. I'm so sorry, Star. You okay?
I make myself nod.
I just can't believe it, you know? It had been a while since I saw him, but it hurts.
Kenya says what I can't.
Yeah. Fuck, I feel the tears coming.
I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry.
I kinda hoped he'd be in here when I walked in, she says softly, like he used to be. Bagging groceries in that ugly apron.
The green one, I mutter.
Yeah, talking about how women love a man in uniform.
I stare at the floor. If I cry now, I may never stop. Kenya pops her hot Cheetos open and holds the bag toward me. Comfort food. I reach in and get a couple. Thanks.
No problem.
We munch on Cheetos.
Khalil's supposed to be here with us.
So, I say,
and my voice is all rough. You and Dinesia got into it last night.
Girl,
she sounds like she's been waiting to drop this story for hours.
Devante came over to me right before it got crazy. He asked for my number.
I thought he was Dinesia's boyfriend.
Devante not the type to be tied down. Anyway, Dinesia walked over to start something, but the shots went off. We ended up running down the same street, and I clocked her ass. It was so funny. You should have seen it.
I would have rather seen that instead of Officer 115 or Khalil staring at the sky or all that blood. My stomach twists again. Kenya waves her hand in front of me. Hey, you okay? I blink Khalil and that cop away. Yeah, I'm good.
You sure? You real quiet.
Yeah. She lets it drop, and I let her tell me about the second round she has planned for Dinesia. Daddy calls me up front. When I get there, he hands me a 20.
Give me some beef ribs from Reuben's, and I want
potato salad and fried okra, I say. That's what he always has on Saturdays. He kisses my cheek.
You know your daddy. Get whatever you want, baby.
Kenya follows me out the store. We wait for a car to pass, the music blasting and the driver reclined so far back that only the tip of his nose seems to nod to the song. We cross the street to Reuben's. The smoky aroma hits us on the sidewalk, and a blues song pours outside. Inside, the walls are covered with photographs of civil rights leaders, politicians, and celebrities who have eaten here, like James Brown and pre-heart bypass Bill Clinton. There's a picture of Dr. King and a much younger Mr. Reuben. A bulletproof partition separates the customers from the cashier. I fan myself after a few minutes in line. The air conditioner in the window stopped working months ago, and the smoker heats up the whole building. When we get to the front of the line, Mr. Reuben greets us with a gap-toothed smile from behind the partition.
Hey, Star and Kenya, how y'all doing?
Mr. Reuben is one of the only people around here who actually calls me by my name. He remembers everybody's name somehow. Hey, Mr. Reuben, I say. My daddy wants his usual. He writes it on a pad.
All right, beefs, potato salad, okra. Y'all want fried barbecue wings and fries? An extra sauce for you, Star Baby?
He remembers everybody's usual orders, too, somehow. Yes, sir, we say.
All right. Y'all been staying out of trouble?
Yes, sir, Kenya lies with ease.
How about some pound cake on the house, then? Reward for good behavior.
We say yeah and thank him. But see, Mr. Reuben could know about Kenya's fight and would offer her pound cake regardless. He's nice like that. He gives kids free meals if they bring in their report cards. If it's a good one, he'll make a copy and put it on the all-star wall. If it's bad, as long as they own up to it and promise to do better, he'll still give them a meal.
It's gonna take about 15 minutes, he says.
That means sit and wait till your number is called. We find a table next to some white guys. You rarely see white people in Garden Heights, but when you do, they're usually at Reuben's. The men watch the news on the box TV in the corner of the ceiling. I munch on some of Kenya's hot Cheetos. They would taste much better with cheese sauce on them. Has there been anything on the news about Khalil? She pays more attention to her phone.
Yeah, like I watch the news. I think I saw something on Twitter, though.
I wait. Between a story about a bad car accident on the freeway and a garbage bag of live puppies that was found in a park, there's a short story about an officer-involved shooting that is being investigated. They don't even say Khalil's name.
Some bullshit.
We get our food and head back to the store. Right as we cross the street, a gray BMW pulls up beside us, bass thumping inside like the car has a heartbeat. The driver's side window rolls down, smoke drifts out, and the male 300-pound version of Kenya smiles at us.
What up, Queens?
Kenya leans in through the window and kisses his cheek. Hey, Daddy.
Hey, Star Star,
he says.
Not gonna say hey to your uncle?
You ain't my uncle, I wanna say. You ain't shit to me. And if you touch my brother again, I'll... Hey, King, I finally mumble. His smile fades like he hears my thoughts. He puffs on a cigar and blows smoke from the corner of his mouth. Two tears are tattooed under his left eye. Two lives he's taken, at least.
I see y'all been to Reuben's. Here.
He holds out two fat rolls of money.
Make up for whatever y'all spent.
Kenya takes one easily, but I'm not touching that dirty money. No thanks.
Go on, Queen. King winks. Take some money from your godfather. Nah, she good,
Daddy says. He walks toward us. Daddy leans against the car window so he's eye level with King and gives him one of those guy handshakes with so many movements you wonder how they remember it.
Big Mav,
Kenya's dad says with a grin.
What up, King? Don't call me that shit.
Daddy doesn't say it loudly or angrily, but in the same way I would tell somebody not to put onions or mayo on my burger. Daddy once told me that King's parents named him after the same gang he later joined, and that's why a name is important. It defines you. King became a King Lord when he took his first breath.
I was just giving my goddaughter some pocket change, King says. I heard what happened to her little homie. That's fucked up. Yeah, you know how it is,
Daddy says.
Popo shoot first, ask questions later. No doubt, they worse than us sometimes.
King chuckles.
But hey, on some business shit. I got a package coming, need somewhere to keep it. Got too many eyes on Aisha's house. I already told you that shit ain't going down here.
King rubs his beard.
Oh, okay. So, folks get out the game, forget where they come from. Forget that if it wasn't for my money, they wouldn't have their little store. And if it wasn't for me, you'd be locked up. 3 years, state pen. Remember that shit? I don't owe you nothing.
Daddy leans onto the window and says,
but if you touch 7 again, I'll owe you an ass whooping. Remember that. Now that you done moved back in with his mama.
King sucks his teeth.
Kenya, get in the car.
But Daddy.
I said, get your ass in the car.
Kenya mumbles bye to me. She goes around to the passenger side and hops in.
Aight, Big Mav. So it's like that?
King says. Daddy straightens up.
It's exactly like that. Aight then. You just make sure your ass don't get out of line. Ain't no telling what I'll do.
The BMW peels out. 4. That night, Natasha tries to convince me to follow her to the fire hydrant, and Khalil begs for me to go for a ride with him. I force a smile, my lips trembling, and tell them I can't hang out. They keep asking, and I keep saying no. Darkness crawls toward them. I try to warn them, but my voice doesn't work. The shadow swallows them up in an instant. Now it creeps toward me. I back away, only to find it behind me. I wake up. My clock glows with the numbers 11:05. I suck in deep breaths. Sweat glues my tank top and basketball shorts to my skin. Sirens scream nearby, and Bricks and other dogs